Today on Real Radio.
When the Holy Spirit is at work in we, in us, the believer, God will use our lives and God will add. Listen, not you, not me. God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. So we have to open our doors. Is it easier not to? Of course it's easier not to. But what has God commanded? God has commanded that we preach the gospel to every creature. And God will send forth His word, and in that He will, by the Holy Spirit, bring in His people. So we need to keep that in mind. Why should I go to church? Well, I'm going to give you several things this morning, right small. There's a lot of them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Acts. We've been looking at chapter 2, where Peter preached and presented his arguments on why it's necessary to repent, receive the Messiah, and be baptized. Well, many did. In fact, the last seven verses of this chapter serve as a description of the life of the believer in the context of living and coexisting with other Christians. And so our teacher begins a mini-series taken from this New Testament narrative called Why Should I? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs as he presents the first in this series of questions.
Why should you come to church? Why should I? Why should we go to church? And we're going to be looking at this series, and by the way, it's about 12 weeks long. We're going to be learning a lot about 12 very important topics. Number one this morning, why should I go to church? Why should we? Why should you go to church? Next week, why should I fellowship? Why is fellowship important? Why should we fellowship at all? We're going to be studying about that in depth. The third week is why should I come back to church? Meaning, if you have a friend, or maybe you're here this morning, and you've wandered away from God, you've wandered away from church, and maybe you're coming back, why should you come back? And by the way, that specific message, I'm hoping that by then you will know to bring a friend of yours who's a Christian, but who's not walking with God. They're away from the Lord. Bring them back on that day and see if the Holy Spirit doesn't hook them and bring them back into the family of God. It's my opinion, and now that I say this publicly, somebody's going to steal it and do it. But it's my opinion that we ought to have crusades to reach those that are not going to church. Don't get me wrong. Should we have the Billy Graham Crusades? Sure. Should we have the Harvest Crusades? Absolutely. But I believe that if we were to hold at Anaheim Stadium, or what's the name of that place now? Doesn't matter. The World Series Stadium. If we were to hold a service, maybe a week long there, to invite Christians and believers who have departed from the church, to invite them to come back in a grand gathering to renew their faith in God, I think a week wouldn't be long enough. We'd pack that place out. Why? There are so many people hurting and wounded and away from the church. So we'll be covering that in our third week. Week number four, we're going to be looking at why should I worship? And I can't wait for that one. Why should I worship? What are the benefits and what is the purpose and the reason to worship? Number five, we're going to be looking at something we've never spoken about here in this church's 12 years existence. We've never talked about this topic, and that is tithing, yet it's scriptural and it's worship. Why should I tithe? And you say, Jack, why did you bring it up at that time? There's no underlining motive. There's no incentive. It's just an act of worship. It has nothing to do with where we're at as a church. God has blessed us financially. That has nothing to do with tithing, though. It has to do with your benefit in worship unto God. Tithing's a type of worship. And it's very important. And my prayer is that when we come to the end of that study, you will have a fresh and new dynamic view of tithing and how beautiful and spiritual it really is. But again, just for a disclaimer, it has nothing to do with the financial status of this church. God has blessed us abundantly in that area. We praise the Lord for that. Week number 6, why should I pray? What are the aspects of prayer? What does it do when I pray? Does it change God's mind? Or does it bring my mind under the will of God when I pray, that God's will may be done in the earth? Number 7, why should I get saved? Bring a friend to that one who doesn't know the Lord. You kind of give you a little hint, you know, why should I get saved? You say, well, Jack, I'm already saved. What do I need to hear that for? Because maybe your neighbor needs to hear it. And we're going to talk about the benefits of salvation and how a person gets saved and walks with God. Week number 8, a lost practice in the modern day church. Why should I fast? It's mentioned in Scripture, fasting. It's a tremendous spiritual power. Why should I fast? Not only that study, but for the course, at least 4 times during this year, we as a church will gather together in prayer because we will have that day fasted. We're going to have 4 general fasts this year where the church will come together and fast and seek God for various topics and issues. Why? Because it's biblical. Is it legalism? No, we get to. And we'll see the Lord, you watch, do tremendous things. Then week number 9, why should I evangelize? How do I evangelize? What are the commands given in Scripture to evangelize? Listen up, everybody. Week number 10, the place should be packed. Why should I find a mate in the Lord? What does all that mean? Should I, as a single person, go and date people out there in the world? How do I find someone? How do I find that person that God has set aside for me? We're going to be looking at that in the 10th week. Why should I find a mate? Week number 11, why should I get involved? Oh, that's going to be important. I was telling my wife yesterday, oh man, we need to pray. I hope the church now sees that they're all servants and ministers to where we're going. Because as we move under that new complex and become very public as a church, every one of us who are here on this side of the street will be called to be servants and ministers. I'm looking to you to be co-laborers with me in this work. And I mean that sincerely. Week 11, why should I get involved? And then finally, week number 12, why should I witness to others? Culminating all the things that we've studied and putting it to our feet and going out there into the community and making a great difference in the world around us. The Why Should I series. This morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, why should I go to church? Acts 2:41 says, then those who gladly received his word, as Peter was preaching, they were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people, 3,000 souls were added to the church. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We'll study those things in depth in the weeks ahead. Then fear, or great awe, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, that's church, and all had things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So they continued daily with one accord, that is one mind and one direction in unity, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That is the birth of the church. As the Holy Spirit came upon the believers in Acts chapter 2, the church was born. And Peter, remember Peter, before Pentecost and before the church was born, Peter was a bumbling goofball sailor. But after Pentecost, after the birth of the church, after Peter was converted to Christ, there was a great power that worked in him. And he stood up and preached a message, and his first sermon, 3,000 people. That's not a bad day, huh? The church grew by 3,000 people in one day. And you say, Jack, I don't like when the church gets big. I don't either. It's more work, isn't it? Do you know how much toilet paper we have to buy every month? You didn't think of that, did you? The water bill, heating and cooling and all that stuff, light bills, things like that, cleaning the carpet. Oh, yeah, it's so much better when you look at it that way to just be a little group of people hanging out together, getting a little club of cliques. That's who we are. And we're in here now. Nobody else can come in. We're here. And a lot of people form these little things, and it becomes very exclusive, and no one's allowed in. Friend, that's not church. When the Holy Spirit is at work in us, the believer, God will use our lives, and God will add. Listen, not you, not me. God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. So we have to open our doors. Is it easier not to? Of course it's easier not to. But what has God commanded? God has commanded that we preach the gospel to every creature. And God will send forth His word, and in that He will, by the Holy Spirit, bring in His people. So we need to keep that in mind. Why should I go to church? Well, I'm going to give you several things this morning, right small. There's a lot of them. Why should I go to church? Listen, first thing is because the church is God's creation. Can you jot that down? The church is God's specific, beautiful, divine creation. Put that down in your notes. We're going to look at several things under that. The church is a unique gathering that God has assembled of His own special people. That's what the church is. Now, let me say something right now, especially in light of the news this morning. Contrary to all the news and all the newspapers and magazines, the church is not in crisis, ladies and gentlemen. The Catholic believers, the Catholic church is in crisis, but Jesus' church is not in crisis. Please make a note of that. Newsweek, Time, U.S. News and World Report, CNN has got the title, The Church in Crisis. I find that highly offensive. It leads you to believe that the church is crumbling and falling apart. A gathering of traditions of men is falling apart. But Jesus' church stands firm and strong. He said the gates of hell will not prevail. The church is not in crisis. The church is living in the last days, and I believe the true church is preaching, evangelizing, raising up disciples, and taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. There are groups that follow leaders and people and traditions where there's no deep or personal relationship with Christ, and they're in crisis. That's tragic. No, my friend, why should I go to church? Number one thing is not because of Jack or not because of Chuck Smith or not because of Billy Graham or not because of the Pope or whoever else. Why should you go to church? Because number one, it's God's beautiful and specific creation of His own. God created the church. Well, there's a lot of hypocrites. That's true, there is. Well, there's a lot of problems in the church. Of course there is. It's full of people. Come on, what did you expect? I am not going to go to church until I find that perfect church. Boy, are you something. So when you show up, you're going to add to its perfection? Or are you going to be the one that breaks the mold of that perfect church? Friend, I'm being sarcastic. Can you tell? I'm laid it on pretty thick. There is no perfect church. And if you think there's a perfect church, God will see to it that you see all of the warts and all of that church so that you get your eyes off of its leaders or off of its traditions or off of its ornateness and put your eyes on Jesus Christ. The church is God's specific creation. Number one, we understand this. It is unique. Jot that down, would you? Why should I go to church? Because it's God's specific creation. Yes? How so? It is a unique gathering of people. No one is excluded from coming to Christ or coming into the bride or body of Christ, known as the church. But to those who do come, they're born into a great gathering. One of the words that defines the very title church is that it is a convocation or gathering, an assembly. We say, well, I'm going to go to church. What are we saying? We're saying that we're going to a gathering of people who have made the Lord their Savior, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, the church. It's a gathering of people to glorify God, and it excludes no one. Jesus made that very clear to us. So, friend, jot it down. If you are going to be a real churchette or a churcher, an attendee of a church, number one thing, know this, you are in a unique gathering, and that gathering is designed to bring other people into the knowledge of God. And God does this by us being together. Now watch. We just read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, but look at Acts chapter 2, verse 40. It says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." And then we read verse 41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church." A unique group of people. Number one, those who are of the church. That is, you're a member of the church. You're to be a saved person. You have come out of a life. God has brought you out of your old life into a new life. Peter exhorted them and testified and said, be saved from this perverse generation. People, are we not living in a perverse generation? Unbelievable. Channel 4 in London, England showed their version of Shock TV. You know, we, I guess, gave birth to Shock TV in some respects. The Fear Factor and Survivor and what are these other lunatic programs? Find a husband, or what's it, The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Who would put their life on TV like that? They must be very lonely people. I don't get it. But to eat the stuff that they do on these programs, for what reason are people doing that? That bugs me. It just bugs me. Well, you don't have a stomach for it. No, you know what? I don't know. I've been redeemed. I've been brought out of a perverse generation, and I am not going to eat pig's eyeballs now that I'm saved. You say, well, you know, what are you saying? That we have a certain dietary law? No, but come on. We have to put a sign up. Do not eat pig eyes. Or these things that these people are eating, what are they doing? It's such a strange thing. Then Channel 4 in London, they had, and I can't believe it, the perversity of man. When Peter says, be saved from this perverse generation, Channel 4 in London had a man eat the flesh of an aborted fetus. In London, England. Broadcast on TV. No wonder why Peter said, be saved from this perverse generation. If that does not shock you, if you say, well, you know, to every man to each his own, you're lost. How can you think like that? You have become conditioned by a world and you have not come out of this perverse generation. How low will men go? How low will mankind stoop? I want to be in the church because I want to fellowship with people who have been delivered from this perverse generation. We are unique. Look at you, you bunch of weirdos, you Christians. That's right, we are weirdos for God. But what are you a weirdo for? You know what? How unique are we? Acts chapter 2, verse 8 says, and how is it that we hear on the day of Pentecost, each in our own language in which we were born? Listen to these unique weirdos. We hear the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, those from Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. This is the church. I love the fact that when we walk into this building, or you might travel anywhere in the world, as I did this week to Florida, you walk in the church and you know what? There's Cubans coming in. Did you know that? In Florida, Cubans, everywhere Cubans. Here a Cuban, there a Cuban, everywhere a Cuban. And then Jamaicans were coming in, and I love to hear them talk. You know that accent of theirs? It's so great. And then there's white people, and there's Hispanic people, and there's Asian people, and there's rich people. One of the richest men in America attend that church. Then there's poor people. Some of the poorest people, no doubt, in that area attend. They all come together into one room to worship God. What about this place? There's older people and younger people. There's wealthy people and poor people. There's white and there's black. There's Asian. I don't know if we have. Yes, we do have some Cubans. I know some Cubans that are here. Here a Cuban, there a Cuban. What is your background? For me, German, English, Portuguese. What about you? In your status in life, are you influential or not? Do you have children or no? Yet we come together, and all of those differences, isn't it awesome that God has washed them away? We come together, and then He reassembles us as a church, and those aspects of our lives He has strengthened as believers. You say, Jack, wait a minute. I can understand how the rich guy can strengthen the church, but I'm the poor guy. You know what? We have been tested by the Holy Spirit, by all those in this church who have need. Are we a real church? Then in our poverty, because you see somebody on this side of the sanctuary may be in poverty. Somebody on this side of the sanctuary may be enjoying affluence. But as a church, are we ministering to their affluence? Are we ministering to their poverty? God puts into every group of believers those that are in need, physically, spiritually, emotionally, to see how those who have respond to those who have not. That's the church. Someone told me, hurt my feelings actually. It hurt my feelings. They don't attend church here. They attend church somewhere else. But this person, it hurt my feelings terribly because this person said, you know, I could never go to your church. And I said, well, okay, that's fine because you have your church. And she said, no, that's not the reason why. It's because the people that attend your church are affluent people. Well, you know what? You hear anything jingling in my pocket? That hurt me. I didn't let her know it hurt me. Is that the perception? No, my argument would be to this person, why don't you come inside and see how the affluent help those that do not have, and those that do not have wind up praying for those who do have and ministering to those that do have as those that have minister to those who don't. That's what I see. It's not what I dream. It's not what I hope to see. I get to hear about it all the time. The church, unique group of people. A second consideration under this point, why should I go to church? Because the church is God's creation. We are a unique gathering, yes. Listen, not only that, but we come together to do God's will. There's no greater force on the planet to execute God's will than when we come together as a church. God's desire is to use us, His people, to get His job done in the world. Will you jot that down? God wants to use us as His people to get His job done. And to me, this is always so humbling. People, I just want to be very transparent with you these weeks that we have together. Isn't it an absolute mind blower that God would want to use you and I?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Why Should I Go to Church? A study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2. It's a series within a series as we journey through this New Testament narrative called simply, Why Should I? It answers questions that have to do with the life of the believer. Why should I be baptized? Why should I fellowship? And so on. The series is available all on one MP3 CD, and for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it to you. You can read more about it if you'd like, simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and look under the banner Special Offer. You can also call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this contact information, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.